Hello, and welcome to What Else Do You Do? I'm your host, Masao. I'm a producer at an indie studio called Cut to Bits in Montreal. This week, our guest is Luther Patenji. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Luther. I am the game designer, writer, and many other jobs at a small indie studio called Joy Manufacturing Co. We're making a revolutionary, romantic, visual novel called Ambition, A Minuet in Power about 18th century France. And that's consuming all of my time right now.
I don't see why that would be. You know, video games is really not a time consuming job, right? Like, it's not, especially in an indie context where you have to wear so many hats.
Absolutely. It's not like I just spent all of yesterday doing our taxes.
Yeah, taxes. It's tax season over here too, so I'm not really looking forward to that either. Other than making video games, what else do you do?
All right. So to keep myself sane, when I'm not making video games, I'm either painting little Warhammer figurines, studying the martial art Krav Maga, or my other major hobby is Lolita fashion.
Well, let's talk about Lolita fashion. What got you into it?
So the way I got into Lolita fashion is like, okay, so back in the day when people still had computer rooms and the internet hadn't been like forcibly collapsed into like five websites or so, I ran across scans of these Japanese fashion magazines called the Gothic and Lolita Bibles, which like started in 2001 or so. And I was really fascinated by this look, but didn't really know where to learn more about it. So just kind of stayed there. Like, I was like, you know, for context, I was a nerdy, closeted, gender fluid high schooler, though that terminology didn't exist yet. So I'm like really primed as this audience. And then years later, after college, I met someone online. We started dating. They were really into the fashion in a serious way and just suggested I might look good in it. So I kind of like, again, like primed, jumped at that opportunity. And while relationship-wise we drifted apart, I kind of, my love for the fashion style remained. And that's more or less how I got into it, is a series of chance happenstances.
Yeah, I think that tracks. I feel like that's kind of generally how people seem to get into Gothic fashion and Lolita fashion. I remember the magazines back in the day. So I'm super old. So I've been around for a long time, and I'm also from Japan. So I actually remember the Gothic Lolita Bible magazines being sold in bookstores. They were pretty hefty magazine.
Yeah, and it was a subculture that has this huge like DIY element. So even if you flip through them, there are like, you know, it's not just fashion photo shoots, it's like sewing patterns and like advice and people like coming up with their own crazy sub styles to all of it. I actually met a guy at a con who was buying up every single Lolita or every single Gothic and Lolita Bible he could find just for the sewing patterns to try and archive them. Okay. Which as far as projects go, I mean, gotta give someone credit for originality.
That's really cool. Yeah. So what's your subgenre of Gothic Lolita?
So I guess you could say there are three major substyles of the fashion. And before I get into it, just because I realize we don't have images, the best thing I can I'll quickly do a rundown for anyone who's a little lost. Lolita fashion is a kind of Japanese street fashion. Technically started in the late 70s, but really took off in the 90s. It's inspired by Victorian or Rococo silhouettes, but it's like characterized by knee-length skirts or dresses with a bell-like silhouette. Outfits are heavily coordinated, lean more towards the formal side of things with like headwear as like hats, bonnets, head bows, etc. And so like if you've played Japanese games or watched anime, you've seen a character who is dressed like this before and you might recognize it. But as for my personal substyle, I would say that I kind of started off on the Gothic side of things, but I've been drifting more and more towards sweet because, I don't know, it just kind of works with my complexion. Your viewers back home can't see this, but I'm about as pale as the driven snow. So, like, you know, the certain pastel colors just kind of work for me. And, you know, so I've just been kind of drifting in that angle.
Okay. So the white and the light pink hues.
Yeah. The white, the light pink, kind of a minty, certain minty greens or lavender colors are pretty common. The, whereas Gothic tends to be blacks, whites, dark blues, and which are all very kind of, very, like there's a certain uniform going on there. Though there are a lot of indie brands who've been breaking that mold.
Do you do any of the sewing yourself, or are you more of a...
I have done a tiny little bit of sewing myself, but I really, I haven't gotten much into it. The, you know, I used to do a bunch of cosplay type stuff. And so like that's generally where I learned to sew. I actually have a sewing machine in my living room, but Lolita is just like, there's so much complexity going on there that like it's a
that's true.
The people who sew their own stuff, I have nothing but the utmost respect for because they have put so many hours into it. It's really, really inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of layers, and on top of it, you're working with a lot of very difficult material, like lace and stuff is like not exactly the easiest to sew.
Mm-hmm. It's everything is extremely delicate, and there's a lot of it. The you know, of Lolita fashion is very much defined by this sort of more is more aesthetic as opposed to less is more. You know, I guess baroqueness versus elegance.
For sure. In terms of your local community, like before COVID and everybody basically just stays in home, are there physical communities that like kind of gather, and are there shops or like, or is it mostly a online affair with kind of like event-based kind of organization like cons and stuff?
Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really fortunate because I'm based in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is kind of like one of the mecca for Lolita fashion in the United States. So we have like the an actual official store by the brand Angelic Pretty. You have Harajuku Hearts down in the financial district. There's not one, but like two major Bay Area Lolita communities, but one for San Francisco and one for the Bay Area in general. And like people, like when it comes down to meetups, people keep coming up with some of like, or were before COVID, for coming up with some of the best and goofiest ideas. That there was definitely a laser tag meetup that I thought was ridiculously fun. But my favorite Yeah, like laser tag.
In full getup.
In all the fashion, just all these extremely lacy, elaborate puffballs running around the dark room shooting each other. My favorite one, though, is we went to the Winchester Mystery House. Is this very, it's a weird pseudo-haunted house in San Jose.
Is it pseudo-haunted house? I don't know. I think it's proper haunted, no?
It might be, like, when I say pseudo-haunted, I mean, like, yeah, like, there are actual potential ghosts there, as opposed to, like, a house made for scaring people. But they actually put on a haunted house-type situation for one Halloween. They did a really good job with it. I hope they come back for it next year. But we decided to all go, so everyone is, like, dressed up in more Gothic styles. Someone had this gorgeous outfit that was like black, but all the white details were like vintage anatomical drawings, and and like their earrings were made of their earrings were like little syringes and stuff. It was absolutely amazing. But more to the point is, we're going through this haunted house together as this one group, and I just kind of paused at one of the breaks in the action just to think aloud and be like, hey, you ever watch one of those old slasher movies and you're like, you idiots, why are you wearing high heels in the woods? You deserve to get stabbed. I'm realizing that we kind of did this to ourselves here. We have no one to blame but ourselves at this moment. Yeah, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. The there's some local anime cons that also have like, well, just J fashion content in general. Like Fanime actually does a whole fashion show, which includes a lot of local indie brands. I've been a part of it. It was a lot of fun. I recommend it. Other than that, people are mostly meeting up for tea and wandering around cool places.
That sounds very nice. So Lolita fashion is like this hyper femme style, right? Like, how inclusive is it in terms of gender?
I would say that the Lolita community is extremely inclusive, and I think it like from a gender perspective, because it comes from this place of like it is hyper femme, so everyone is very cognizant, of gender and like how gender is extremely performative. Like, you know, it's just a series of culture actions, and so you get you get everything from every spectrum. Like, I have met cis women, cis men. Trans women, even trans men who are into Lolita fashion, who it's just, there is something where, you know, you want to express at least for a moment, a very particular way and just sort of dive at it. It's very much a inclusivity in Lolita, in the Lolita fashion community really comes down to kind of a put up or shut up mentality of like, all right, are you putting a lot of work into your coordinate? You appear to be. All right, cool. It's good. Or like, are you new? And do you like, are you just looking for advice? We can help you with that. And I guess like that's really what it boils down to. It's like, are you here for the thing we're all here for? If so, it's fine.
I've heard the expression like itai regarding like the
it gets sorted down to ita, which is in English at least is I think itai in Japanese is like kind of like an onomatopoeia for ow or ouch.
It means it's painful.
Yeah, and it's ita being a term for it hurts to look at you. So when I said there was a very put up or shut up mentality, that's what I mean, is that like some people, you know, take the specifics very seriously, and it is like, you know, think about how you're going to dress, think about like how this is all going to work for you. Are these colors working together? Like, you know, is, or does this look like a mess? And, you know, given how elaborate the fashion style is, it is easy to look like a mess.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a community that really embraces being a hot mess.
No, it does not. And, but you know, the nice thing is, like I said, if you approach it from a place of humility, if you're like, hey everyone, I'm kind of an eater right now, here's what I got so far, how do I fix this? More often than not, people will jump at the chance to help you. It's when people come from a different place where they're like, I don't care what you think. I think my hot garbage looks great. That's when people's hackles are going to get up. And I think, you know, that's true of almost any hobby you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess all of that makes a lot of sense. I mean, Lolita fashion is so intertwined with the visual kei musical genre.
Yep.
And there's quite a bit of cross-dressing and gender fluidity within the performance there.
Mm-hmm. Mana from the band Maris Mizuru is I think there's their bassist, was sort of the patron saint of Gothic Lolita fashion for a while. They still run their own brand, though that's sort of like slowly running its course. And yeah, it's just kind of been there for a while of that, like, yeah, like you have most of the visual kei artists were often men who were just going in this style of extremely made up, you know, extremely androgynous presentation, and it just it all flows together after a point.
Let's move on to our next question, which is, what do you get out of this that you don't get out of game development?
I would say that for me, making games and playing games is about making something and doing something. Whereas for me, like, if you had to put it, Lolita is more about being something. It's not something I'd want to be 24/7, but it matters all the same to me. Normally in life, the only times it's really socially acceptable to get super dressed up is for like weddings, prom, and that's like about it. Whereas like doing something like Lolita fashion entirely for yourself, it's almost like celebrating yourself and celebrating being alive is the best way I can describe it. It's like, why am I doing this? Because I want to do it. And that kind of just because mentality, I really, really like. Whereas in games, you know, when you're making games, everything has to have a point because you do not have the time or the money to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Doing something for the present and like being really there and now is, yeah, not typically something that's associated with video games, mm-hmm. I guess, because it's more of a process rather than a point, I guess.
Yeah. you know, video games, like you have to be in love with the actual process of making games. If you are not, you are going to be very miserable.
For sure. Yeah. I've often told young people, like, if you can think of doing something else, you should probably do that. You should really only make video games if you can't think of doing anything else and making you happy.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. That's definitely true. And whereas, like, you know, to go back to the Lolita fashion thing, it's sort of like a thing that harps to me is this idea that anytime you show that you are completely yourself, anytime that you do a very strong presentation of what it is that makes you you, you're not just doing something for yourself. You're actually sort of acting as this beacon for other people, this beacon that other people can look and go, oh, this person is really, really, you know, like going very unapologetically about who they are. That means it might be safe for me to do the same. And like that does have a real ripple effect. And I'm a believer in the idea that, you know, if you cannot be yourself, what is the point? It is such an important thing, the idea of being authentic as opposed to hiding behind, you know, several layers of veil and irony. So yeah, pageantry for pageantry's sake, because, you know, it's fun.
It does seem like a culture that is very focused on kind of celebrating itself, which is nice. You know, I feel like there's a lot of kind of shame in our culture about like our bodies and who we are and how we want to express ourselves. And, you know, a lot of us are kind of raised being told like, you know, well, don't do that. And the fact that like it's a community that's really just wants to have a good time.
Yeah, that really much is it. And I mean, it's sort of like if you want to define it in some ways, the best thing to do is to contrast it. Is if you look at like American fashion, like American high fashion is very much about this mentality of like you spend 2 hours getting ready, but what you're trying to achieve is making it look like you're just rolled out of bed, looking the particular way you did. I mean, like even in our culture, like think about the phrase try hard. Try hard is an insult. And you're like, really? You tried hard at something and that's bad? Like, I don't know. It just feels kind of tiresome to spend all this energy on feigned disinterest. Whereas, like, if I'm going to spend 2 hours on a coordinate, everyone should know it. Like, I am not putting in all this work for nothing. I guess that's my inner project manager talking.
Let's flip that question over. What do you think your love of Lolita fashion brings to you as a game developer in terms of your content or in terms of your process?
I would say that I think it's really impressed upon me the value of pure aesthetics. Is that, you know, there's sometimes a belief in video games that as long as you have your mechanics, your dynamics, and your code, then like, you know, the game is just that alone can determine whether the game is good or bad. And that like visuals and audio are just sort of this extra. And I just cannot possibly agree with that. Lots of little details working together in unison can make this really powerful and distinct impression. You're in many games, you are selling people on a fantasy. And Lolita fashion is very much selling a fantasy. You are dressing up in these outrageously femme, to be honest, quite expensive outfits for the sake of doing it, to create sort of almost this own little internal world. And you see that a lot in games, is that like, you know, you're putting all these details together to make this own little internal world. And going back to the whole point about self-expression is games sometimes should include moments where there is no mechanical impact for something. Where there is like, why is the player allowed to make this decision? They're allowed to make this decision so they can express who they are in that moment. And I think that has a lot of things it can do for player investment. For, you know, even if it's just enough for you to say to like, you know, so and so is like, how did you like your space rice? And you're like, this is terrible. And like, you know, it's not really a, it's not really like a mechanical thing. Like you saying the space rice was terrible is never going to have an impact on anywhere else in the game, but it helps you feel like you're being heard. And and I think that sometimes that can do more for player investment than some extremely expensive system.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think especially I think there's a certain type of indie mentality that's like really like kind of this like design driven. And games are multimedia and interactive medium, and I totally agree that everything does feed into the player experience, and it's very important to have that unified experience for it to have like a lasting impression on the player. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our last question, which is, what is something you'd like people to know about Lolita Fashion that they wouldn't know unless they were part of the community?
The first thing that always comes to mind is that, remember when I said earlier that like if you've played Japanese games or like watched anime, you've probably seen a character dressed in Lolita fashion. One thing that always keeps bugging me when I watch it or see these characters is that they're all out of date. They're all like fashion wise, they're all stuck in the year 2001 approximately. Like they're wearing like an all black dress with white lace trim, twin tails hairstyle, like the classic rectangular headpiece, which people wore, I think, back then because it was easy to sew. And like, and so everyone's like in the wrong era. And you're like, you know, if you're going to include unusual fashion choices in a game, check to see what year your game is supposed to take place in. Go with that. Like there's a lot going on here. And this is a community that like, if you wanted to include a character who wears Lolita fashion in your game and you came in and said like, hey, it's 2008 in our game. Like what were people dressing like in Lolita fashion then? It's like, that was when over the top sweet style was at its absolute zenith. Here's 20 reference pictures. Like it would not be hard, and I think you can extrapolate from that. If I am noticing a little detail like that, if you're making a game and you want to include a character from a subculture or a substyle that's unfamiliar, research is your friend. Going to that community and asking them honest questions is your friend. Like it will make things better and more, well, authentic.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I mean, it's a very dedicated community that, so you know, obviously it's going to have the ebbs and flows of trends.
Mm-hmm. And I also realized I completely departed from the question that you asked me. Sorry about that. Let me take one more shot at that.
No, you could take multiple shots. In fact, you can have multiple points that you want people to know about.
I guess getting back to the things I would want people to know about Lolita fashion is that Lolita fashion is a fashion style that in many ways is keenly aware of how trivial it is and how trivial fashion is. That, you know, it is, why are we doing this? There's no grand purpose here. We're doing this because we like doing this. We're doing this because we want to do this. And there's something to that celebration of the trivial, and also how it intermingles with the fact that there is this, that Lolita fashion is a celebration of femininity, often by and for women. And like there's something there about how like society deems anything that women are interested in as trivial. But like the Lolita fashion community is full of some very intelligent people who are very cognizant of everything that they're doing. And I don't know, it's just like it is kind of very unique in that regard. And
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like the like femininity in Japan and kind of female expression in Japan is an interesting idea, because like it's still such a sexist community, and it's, you know, it's difficult to be a woman in Japan, and it's really interesting to see over the years how they've chosen to kind of express themselves in a way that was like, they don't necessarily, like, if you look at, like, for example, this is a completely unrelated fashion trend, but if you look at the ganguro, like the gyaru, like the over-the-top gyaru fashion.
Yeah.
And how it was actually dressing intentionally to be negatively perceived by the mainstream male perspective.
Mm-hmm. And Lolita fashion was very much in the same vein as this kind of like act of rebellion, because, like, you know, Lolita fashion is extremely modest at its heart. Like, people are showing way less skin than even in the average outfit your average American is wearing. And so, like, it's almost like a kind of modesty as act of rebellion type situation, where you have like these people who are absolutely sick of being objectified. So they have chosen to go in a direction that completely departs from the way that they're expected to be in order to be, you know, in order to be presentable or acceptable. It's much like the Yarrow fashion, where there is this thing of, like, when you have a pack of Lolitas all together in a group, you can sort of sense that there is an energy in a crowd of, like, people going by do tend to keep their distance. And, like, which is so funny because of, like, you look at an average Lolita on their own and you're like, this is the least intimidating image I could possibly conjure up. But, you know, I think by being that sort of transgressive element and by being together in a group in force, it creates I guess I have no other word for it, but almost a shock and awe effect of people being like, oh, didn't expect that. Oh, there's a lot of that. Don't know what to do with it. And and of course you still get like randos coming up and asking to take your picture and all that. But at least they're asking.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun and that was very informative. Is there any last thoughts you would like to squeeze in before we depart?
Any last thoughts I'd like to squeeze in? If you're interested in Lolita fashion at all, research it, go about it, try it. Check out Lace Market, which is a secondhand shop online, sort of the eBay of Gothic Lolita. Don't buy things on eBay. It's usually a scam. Like, go out and try it, because, like, how dreadful would it be to live a life having never once been yourself? To spend a life in fear, wondering what if. I know that some people have to be that way because it can be physically dangerous for them. But if that's not true for you, give it a shot, because like what else is there if not being yourself?
That was amazing, man. I think that's a lovely thought to conclude our episode. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this. Have a wonderful day.
I'll talk to you later, Masao.
Talk to you later.
As always, thank you for listening, and remember to rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. Thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music, and thank you to Therese Lanz for providing the logo. Bye.